thank you for joining us on this Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I will be your host today. I'm Phil Felice, the Director of Internal Sales here at Aquila. And today I have David Schiffman. He's sitting down with us. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Phil.
Thanks for being with us. David is the lead portfolio manager of the Aquila High Income Fund. And he's going to give us an overview of the high yield market. And I feel it's a good time. There's so much in the news on fixed income in general, and you know, treasuries are a big topic. And they've been really driving the story. But there hasn't been much left headline-wise for the high-yield markets. So I want to dive right in. So I want to start broad with your current assessment of high-yield corporate bonds. How would you describe the present state of the high-yield market?
Great question, Phil. So why don't we begin with an overview of Fed policy and our thoughts on upcoming FOMC decisions? Recent economic data, Phil, including the resilient labor market combined with inflation that remains well above the Fed's target of 2%, that kind of leads us to believe we may see one more rate hike between now and the end of the year. Certain components of inflation remain sticky, and the recent spike in energy, along with the likely wage gains we may see, that could be the result of recent union labor negotiations, could really keep inflation data elevated. Aside from our view on at least one more rate hike by the Fed this year, we think investors really should begin to shift their focus towards the length of time the Fed may leave rates at these restrictive levels. We anticipate rates will probably be higher for longer than the current market is projecting, and that could lead to what we're calling a rolling recession. The higher rate environment, heightened geopolitical uncertainty, and political gridlock here at home really all lends itself to potential pockets of weakness in certain sectors of the economy. However, we feel the higher rated credits within the high yield market really continue to exhibit stable credit metrics. And many of those issuers have been really opportunistic in refinancing upcoming maturities, Phil. Therefore, with absolute yields right now, believe it or not, hovering right around 9% and relatively short duration of the asset class, high-yield bonds really offer a compelling opportunity for investors, we think. However, now more than ever, I would say an actively managed approach to high-yield investing is really important. There could be a real minefield of deteriorating credits to avoid, while there could really be pockets of strength that may add incremental performance for investors.
Thank you, David. And that's a great overview. And is there anything within that that you would say are the market drivers that investors may wish to pay attention to looking at the high-yield market going forward?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we feel the focus for investors should really rotate towards how long rates may stay at these elevated levels. Aside from Fed funds nearing a potential peak, recent moves higher in longer duration treasuries has surprised some market participants. It was apparent that other portions of the yield curve really needed to go higher after Chairman Powell suggested short-term rates would stay higher than most people had previously thought. Reinforcing this view, recent economic data have really shown more strength than most would have expected, especially with such an aggressive Fed policy stance. Demand for Treasury bonds has really been tempered as well, especially for overseas buyers, while the runoff of the Fed's balance sheet has really reduced the buying power of what we would consider the biggest indiscriminate buyer. Finally, a large increase in upcoming supply really has driven buyers to seek higher yields to compensate for the perception of increased risk and uncertainty. You know, where yields eventually settle in, it's an important question. If they move too high, then the economy, you know, could risk going into a tailspin. Yet, if they appear too low and inflation remains entrenched, then the Fed has to do more. Either way, it's uncertain times for the markets, and we expect near-term volatility to really remain elevated.
Thank you. And want to kind of switch gears, because you mentioned earlier that higher credits offer a level of stability. But what's your take on credit fundamentals and the underlying credit strength of high-yield bond issuers?
Well, in-depth credit analysis is really the foundation of our philosophy, and that, Phil, really can't be underestimated. As I've mentioned to many shareholders when I've spoken to them, you know, I really tell them it's not always the money you make, but the money you don't lose in fixed income investing. I mean, that's something really important for folks to really remember. Our mantra of do no harm, you know, you've heard it many times from me, that highlights our dedication to this philosophy and the need for comprehensive credit due diligence will really come to the forefront in coming months and quarters. As mentioned earlier, credit metrics appear stable for now for many high-yield issuers, yet the higher rate environment is really beginning to take a toll on lower-rated credits. This is especially true for those issuers with a large percentage of floating-rate debt outstanding. Some lower-rated CCC-rated companies were opportunistic during the pandemic era in refinancing their debt at historically low interest rates. Many of these issuers tapped the floating rate market to take advantage of short rates near zero. Yet now those coupons, believe it or not, have reset to over 500 basis points higher. This is really putting an enormous amount of pressure on their balance sheets and weakening their underlying credit fundamentals. Hence, as we approach what we're calling a rolling recession, like I mentioned earlier, we continue to be opportunistic in really moving up in credit quality while maintaining a duration that's about a year short versus our benchmark. And just as a reminder, duration is a measure of interest rate risk. Hence, a shorter duration could help mitigate the potential price decline if we're in a rising rate environment. But keep in mind also, it could be beneficial if credit spreads move wider from the current levels. We still feel there's good relative value in the energy sector, as many of the current companies in this area have improved their credit metrics and continue to benefit from the current level of oil prices. Meanwhile, we still think the consumer appears to be spending, and although there has been a shift from goods to services, therefore we like sectors like casinos, higher-end hotels, and certainly credits in the cruise industry look very interesting as well.
So you've alluded to the answer to my question, but I did want to ask it directly. What's your view on credit spreads at this point in time?
As you may suspect from my comments on up in quality trade and shorter duration, our view is there is some potential for credit spreads to widen out, to rise. With the option-adjusted spread, the high-yield index just above 400 basis points, the market doesn't really appear to be pricing in any weakening in credit fundamentals and certainly not anticipating a potential recession. Yet, as the long and variable lags of monetary policy work its way through the economy, we do expect the labor market will experience some pressure from companies right-sizing their workforce in order to maintain their margins and adjust for potential pullback in the overall consumer demand. Therefore, we constantly monitor all the various industry sectors, Phil, and lean on our decades of experience in our bottom-up approach to opportunistically allocate portfolio assets within and among various areas of the high-yield market. We really have been opportunistic in adding quality names in the portfolio at attractive levels and have begun to really mitigate some of the potential reinvestment risk that's been created recently by the inversion of the yield curve. And the way we mitigate that is by creating a bit of a barbell in our maturity ladder. I mentioned this in a recent article I wrote on this, what we call forgotten risk. Short maturity positions offer investors a relatively attractive rate of return right now if they're held through maturity, while intermediate and long maturities could help lock in historically high yields for an extended period of time. In addition, as rates eventually decline, it doesn't feel like they will right now, but eventually rates will come down, the investment risk realized by putting short maturity proceeds back into the market at lower yields could be offset by appreciating prices of investors' longer-term positions. Reminder, bond prices move inversely to rates and yields, meaning bond prices will increase as yields decline.
So the supply of new bond issuance remains relatively low, but we did see an increase a bit recently. What kind of impact does that supply generally have on the market?
Well, Phil, during the summer months, new issue supply in the high yield market was actually fairly muted as companies really were reluctant to issue bonds during an initial spike in the option-adjusted spread along with overall yields. However, by September, it appeared the floodgates had opened up. We saw 38 bonds priced. I think it was a little bit over $24 billion in new issuance. That's the highest monthly volume since January of 22, according to J.P. Morgan Credit Research. This compares to a year-to-date monthly average of a little bit over $15 billion and a monthly average of about $11.5 billion since the start of the last year. Through the end of the third quarter of this year, the high-yield markets priced a little bit over $130 billion in new issuance in 2023, and that's compared to just about $90 billion over the first 9 months of 22. So we certainly have seen an increase in issuance this year compared to last year. But normally, an increase in supply would put added pressure on credit spreads in order to make it more attractive for the market to absorb those new issues. However, believe it or not, a dearth of new issue activity earlier in the year and attractive all-in yields have allowed these issues to price without much effect on overall credit spreads. As maturity walls in 2024 and 25 quickly approach, it will be really interesting to see how receptive investors are to the increased supply required to refinance these issues.
So clearly there's a lot of factors to consider in your day-to-day when navigating the high-yield bond markets. How do you navigate it all, the uncertainty, the macros, the risk for return? How do you navigate that?
Bill, you know what? You rightly mentioned there are a huge number of factors to consider when managing a high-yield portfolio, whether it's the macroeconomic environment, geopolitical uncertainty, especially right now, or the, you know, the traditional idiosyncratic credit risk. Our top-down and bottom-up approach allow us to be nimble and proactive to what I call the three M's. We monitor, manage, and mitigate these various risk factors. Through our do-no-harm approach, again, you're going to hear this more and more from us, that really is going to serve our shareholders well as we navigate the volatility and uncertainty of these unexpected and unprecedented events.
As usual, David, great insights. If you can, we're at the tail end here of our conversation. Could you briefly summarize a few key takeaways for our listeners and what those might be?
Absolutely. Just again, to summarize, we feel high-yield bonds have really demonstrated resiliency despite the volatility we just talked about and the uncertainties in fixed income, with year-to-date returns still well into positive territory. The asset class has been one of the best-performing sectors of the fixed income market. We believe absolute yield levels and overall valuations continue to look relatively attractive in the current environment. And keep in mind, high-yield bonds may provide valuable diversification as part of a well-rounded investment portfolio and really could act as a nice complement to other fixed income allocations. The Aquila Group of Funds high-yield strategy is based upon a proactive approach to portfolio management, and we really do have that disciplined investment and research process. Our team of investment professionals, keep in mind, we have a combined years of experience of well over 100 years. We seek to deliver high current income as well as the potential for capital appreciation for our shareholders, and we really do pay careful attention to those risk management policies and truly adhere to what we call the three M's, as I mentioned earlier. It's monitor, manage, and mitigate those risks. And that really does, Phil, support our do no harm philosophy.
Well, David, as always, every time I talk to you, it's great information. There's a lot there to consider as we approach the year end, a lot to consider on the high yield front, a lot to consider really in fixed income. So just thank you for your time today and have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your year.
Thanks very much, Phil. Really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The information is general in nature and is not intended to provide investment, accounting, tax, or legal advice. It is not intended to represent a recommendation or solicitation related to any particular investment, security, or industry sector. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio manager and not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor of the fund. The fund's primary objective is to obtain a high level of current income. Capital appreciation is a secondary objective when in line with the primary. The fund invests at least 80% of net assets in income-producing securities and as much as 100% in high yield, lower-rated or unrated debt securities. The fund is suitable for long-term investors seeking higher potential returns than more conservative fixed income funds and who are willing to accept the higher risks of price and income fluctuations. Information regarding holdings is subject to change and is not necessarily representative of the entire portfolio. A complete list of the fund's current holdings, including percentage allocation, is available on our website and by contacting Aquila Group of Funds. The Bloomberg U.S. Corporate High Yield Index is an unmanaged index considered representative of the universe of fixed-rate, non-investment-grade debt. The Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index is an unmanaged index considered representative of the universe of fixed-rate, investment-grade, taxable debt. Performance on an index does not reflect management fees and expenses, which are reflected in fund performance. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Please refer to the fund's prospectus for a complete description of risks associated with an investment in the fund. These include, but are not limited to, potential loss of value, market risk, financial risk, interest rate, and credit risk, and invest in highly leveraged companies, lower quality debt securities, foreign markets, and foreign currencies. Before investing in the fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund's prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and when you call 1-800-437-1020 or visit www.aquilafunds.com.